on the 6th annual Union Retreat. We'd like you to join us in celebrating the recovery and fellowship that we have come to know, need, and deserve in our lives. We encourage you to share in our NA unity through your expanding strength and hope in our wide variety of workshops. This is an open retreat. All who are welcome to attend, however, we ask that only addicts share in our workshops. And according with our 7th tradition, we are fully self-supporting. Thank you for registering. We should remember that our actions this weekend are a direct reflection on Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. Let's carry the NA message, not the message. What is the NA message? Our message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message is hope and the promise of freedom. When all is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry the message to the addict that still suffers. This is all we have to give. That no addict anywhere need die from the horrors of active addiction. Basic text, page 65. The NA way, Narcotics Anonymous, we are presented with a dilemma. When NA members identify themselves as addicts and alcoholics, cross addicts, or talk about living clean and sober, the clarity of the NA message is blurry. To speak in this manner suggests that there are two diseases, that one drug is separate from the rest. Narcotics Anonymous makes no distinction between drugs. Our identification as addicts is all-inclusive, allowing us to concentrate on our similarities, not our differences. To the press, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. If any members of the press are present, please come to the register table, where you will be referred to our public information chairperson. We respectfully ask that no pictures be taken during the UNI retreat by the press. If any NA members are approached by the press, please refer them to the registration table. Remember that no one person represents NA. Please do not attempt to represent NA to the press alone. Thank you. And please observe on no smoking in all buildings. Hello, everyone. My name is Mike, and I'm an addict. This workshop is entitled Living the Program. Will you please help me open this meeting with a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers, followed by the wee version of the Serenity Prayer. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Read the reading we do recover from the podium, please.
I'm out again, Chad. We do recover. When at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as human beings. Either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter end, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in history, a simple way has been proven itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thanks, God.
Our first speaker tonight is Jim from the We Is the Key group in Narcotics Anonymous in North Pittsburgh. I just met him 5 minutes ago, and like the first thing come out of his mouth was a conversation with God. So I sort of got a little bit of introduction on like what he's going to be sharing about. I'd like to welcome Jim.
Okay, Jim.
Hi, my name is Jim Wolver. I am an addict. And, I don't know, I was asked to do this about a month ago. And he said, I'll call you then to know what your topic is going to be, give you a chance to read up on it. You know what? I still like to dress my call. But it's okay. Then he says, living the program. I says, what do you mean? You got the wrong guy for this thing, man. Because, I still have some problems with lifestyle, you know, but you know what? after talking with some other people, he says, you know what, man, you are there from the program. And I'm the last one to ever see anything that changes in myself. You know what I mean? And it takes a lot of people that are around here to share with me what they feel about me in order for me to start seeing some things in myself, because I don't see the change. I struggle with that. But I don't know. Growing up, I started out like 5 years old, already starting to do the, wasn't even about the drugs, it was about the behaviors, the fear. I come out of kindergarten, my grandfather took me down to the bar, and I had a coffee with drinking. Well, I kept saying, I want to leave, I want to go play with my friends. And so he got mad, he beat me all the way home, you know. That gave me the fear of not wanting to express myself to any elder, anybody, you know what I mean? I didn't want to be close to nobody. And that was reinforced as I kept on growing and getting a little older. When I tried to turn to my mother and father, I mean, nothing against them. I love them all. I can't blame them because my grandpa was an alcoholic. So, you know what I mean? He wasn't in control of anything. He was, the alcohol had the power over him. And I was, you know, just a victim of that little thing. But, every time I turned to my mother and father, they were either too busy, too tired, to see every time do the best they could for me by, you know, living their life, working every day. Both of them had a job, and doing everything they had to do to keep a roof over my head, food on the table, and clothes on my back. And I'm grateful for that. You know, I love my parents to death. That's one of the things that this program has given me is the ability to live through my father passing away in May. You know? It's amazing. He passed away. I ran into somebody at the club. He's a guy I met when I first came in here. And he's got 36 years in the other fellowship. He said to me, he said, where would you normally be today? I said, at the bar, doing whatever I could just to try to get out of this here and not face the fact that my dad's dead, you know what I mean? And he said, absolutely. I said, I'd also be giving every person out there that doesn't deserve the grief, every bit of grief that they don't deserve. And he said, absolutely. He said, what are you doing today? I said, I'm here with you. And he said, that's right, let's pray. So that was the first thing, you know what I mean? And that's living the program, you know? I don't know where to share from. I just got to share from the heart. And all I know is I love literature, and my sponsor teaches me through the literature. Just as the people in this program teach me through the literature. Because everybody that I hear share, that has clean time, that is living this program, has a base in the literature. And it says right here in the basic text, it says here that anyone, we have never seen a person who is living the Narcotics Anonymous program relapse. Never. That's a strong, powerful thing, you know. Never is a powerful word. And I've only seen it a couple times in the basic text. It says in the beginning or two about just for the day, you never have to use again. See it? I got clean in September 4th of 1999. And I'm up here, I'm listening to these other people share, and they got 10, 11, 12, 16. I'm like, man, I'm getting half the share, and I'm coming up on 3 years. What's up with that, you know? I don't think I'm worthy. See, that's where my self-esteem goes, you know what I mean? Dying like this, and I don't feel like that. You know, I feel inadequate, I don't think I can mash up, and you know, it ain't even about mashing up. It's about just sharing where I'm at, and what's going on in my life, and how this program works for me today. And I don't have to act out in the old behaviors that I used to. Although sometimes I still fall short, and I still want to do that, you know what I mean? But in this big step in the verse how why, it says it's the lifetime process. And it says that only the deep internal change can come about by the presence of a loving God.
own it.
That's the shit I want, you know? I want them changes today, but sometimes, like it says in How It Works, we won't get it off and we won't make the effort to get it. I'm not willing. You know what I mean? Because I got fear. I'm scared of shit. You know? I don't want to face that stuff. I don't want to face me and my fear that I'm not good enough to fit into the things that I think that you think I should be. Because that's how confused and twisted my thinking is. Because I try to project what you think I should be, and then I want to chameleon myself and fall right into that. And you know what? It's not about that. You know? I'm learning that today, because that's what I did all my life. You know, and it talks a great deal about that in the IP of self-acceptance. It talks about how we chameleon ourselves to fit in wherever, because that's all I wanted to be all my life, was accepted. You know what I mean? And I never could. Even when I was drinking, and all the people I saw were my friends, I'd go to their house and say, nah, you can't come in. I look in the door and it's everybody I know is down there in the basement, you know, with the music loud, drinking, having a good time. And what do? I just shut my lips. So I never felt like I was adequate to be in. I never felt that I was one anymore. And it's crazy. At 13 years old, I'm walking around with a backpack on my back full of beer. You know what I mean? That was my way of getting around, doing my thing. I first started getting high. That was, I was in fifth grade, sitting right outside the school, smoking some joints with a friend of mine. He come up and said, hey, you want to try this? I said, sure. So we sat and we smoked up a whole half pint. And my teachers were walking out of school and I didn't even care. There was no fear, because I didn't realize what it was. You know what? I never thought that weed ever was a problem for me. So I started getting clean. And that was 24 years later. And it took me 3 months to even conceive the fact that weed was a problem. See, when I was in rehab, still going to the bars and sitting there playing the poker machines and not drinking, because I was under there because I wanted to stop smoking crack cocaine. You know what I mean? I thank God for that, too. You know, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be on that today. Because that brought me to the lowest points where I just had to tell my boss, look, I have a serious problem with drugs, and alcohol. I don't do that anymore. In fact, I think that even brought me far enough away from alcohol that I was able to get a spiritual awakening, get some spiritual contact, you know. Driving across the Liberty Bridge, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, rear-ending two guys on the bridge, and getting out of my car and not wanting nothing and saying, oh, I'm all right, my car's all right, leaving. I get back in and say, this voice is loud as thunder in my head, says, Jim, if you don't do something right, you take away the engine, you know, it's been on the shoulder all these years. And I tell you what, the next day I quit my job and started seeking help. And I don't know what that is. It ain't me, because I'd still rather be using. You know? I don't want to face the things that I look have to face today, but I got to do them. You know what I mean? I want to live life. I see these people in the way they're living life. You know, I can't do it without this program. Coming here, I got back in touch with God that I never knew. And it's always been there for me. It's been there all my life. I never even knew. You know, I always thought it was something else, that as soon as I made a mistake, I was in a bad way. And so why not just keep on going? That was my attitude. One of the things was my mom is enabler. She loves me to death, but a lot of times she hurt me throughout my life by not letting me face consequences and let me go through the pain that I should have. They could have got me into this maybe a long time ago. Because I envy some of these younger people there. I see they're coming around gates and say, man, I wish I could have got that back in there. You got it. I mean, chance you got now, man, I wish I had it at your time. You know what I mean? But it ain't even about that either. So it's about things I did in life got me to where I'm at today. And it's all the behaviors I learned as a kid. Like I said, my grandfather beat me coming home that day and I got scared. I didn't want to talk to nobody. Then every time I did try to talk to my mom, I got rejected. Every time I tried to talk to my dad, I got rejected. So it was like I had to seek answers outside of what should have been the home base, what should have been the place where I should have been getting the answers. And I sought them all out from other people. I watched TV. I was one of the people, you know, I got a nickname Toon. It was because I watched cartoons so much and I could get so deep into it. He could be saying, Jim, I wouldn't even hear you because I'm so entranced in what's going on the TV that I blocked out everything else. You know, I could still do that today. I could get entranced in something. I could just block out everything else, you know. And when I was in rehab, they said I had to go in and see this psychologist. And they says, oh, well, you have this here hyperactive attention deficit disorder. And I says, oh, does that mean you're going to give me drugs and give me some good ones so I can get high? Because that's why I'm here. I don't want to get high anymore. I don't want to take the drugs, you know? And he said, no, I just suggest you see somebody after this. And I said, okay, whatever. And the therapist that was here kept telling me, introduced me to the program, you know, gave you a meeting list that most of these places do. So I started going to some meetings. And he says, if you see somebody that's, you know, going through something or got something that you want, ask them how they got it. So the more I come around, I start seeing these people how they're living their life, and being happy all the time, and smiles on their faces. And I was like, how do you do that? He said, by working the steps, by living this program. And living the program isn't living the fellowship, it's living what's in the literature. You know, because that is the program. For me, I don't know, some people want to twist that. You know, I don't. I don't want to twist that today. I'm learning from my own experiences that this is where the power that for me is in the literature. The other part of that is, though, is that I have to share it with others, because it says right here in Works Power and Why, it's only through sharing that we don't gain our own experiences, our own answers, our own higher power, and our own path to recovery. And if I can't live anybody else's path to recovery, I have to live my own. And I've been in several relationships. You know, they say when you first come around here, don't get in a relationship in the first year. Well, I had 3 months and I was in a relationship already. Yeah, that ain't gonna work for me, man. You crazy that? I ain't about that, you know? Man, I'll tell you what. I ain't got a sponsor. Started trying to work some steps. And trying to do that, we just read through the basic text. Prepared. I put myself in there saying, okay, yeah, I can relate. You know, all that relating stuff. Oh, yeah, you worked. You just worked the first 3 steps. You admitted you was powerless. You showed your unmanageability. You know, and all this. I said, okay, that's cool. Well, we started trying to work the 4th step. I'm in a relationship. My fear of defects started surfacing. Because I could be jealous. I could be controlling. I don't know, you name it, I got it. I never realized it. I never recognized it because no one ever showed me what it was. No one ever told me what these things were. You know, I knew I could be jealous. You know what I mean? I didn't know that I was being controlling. I didn't know I was doing this other stuff. But being in a relationship and early recovery, trying to work the 4th step, it's not happening. At least it wasn't for me. Because with all this other stuff going on, I was confused, and I couldn't grasp the concept of surrender. See, I continued to go to meetings and do the things that were suggested here. Because it says in the literature about those who come to our meetings regularly stay clean. I don't want to use. Because see, like I said, when I was real early on, In rehab, I said, I'm going to get high when it comes to Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving come around, I got a moment of clarity because I was able to look back at my life and I seen it getting high on weed, I never finished anything. I said I got high back there when I was in fifth grade, watching all the teachers walk out. Well, I had straight A's up until that point, and then I went to straight E's. I passed out of, they passed me from middle school to high school with 6 D's, 2 D's, and a C in the eighth grade. I don't even know how I got through that. Because I was such a terror, they didn't want me in the system no more. They just pushed me on through. And I ended up dropping out of high school. Tried college later on. Ended up being in college and drank and smoked my way out of an associate's degree in accounting. You know, I had one semester to go. And I blew all my grants and loans and everything else because I smoked my way out of college. I didn't do the work that was necessary. I never showed up because of God. Today, I had a shot of going back to college, and I said I'm going to do it sooner or later. But right now, I'm sort of where I'm at because I feel God has some things planned for me right now. I'm a roofer, and these guys, man. It's amazing, I see myself every day. When I see them come in, they're staggering in out of the cars, and I'm like, man, that used to be me. And sometimes I laugh, and sometimes I just say, man, are you okay? You're going to make it through the day, you know? And I get a lot of gratitude. I get a lot of gratitude that I don't have to be there today. But I could be here, and I could... I can show these guys that there's another way of living because I'm not doing the same things I used to do. I used to get angry and fight with these guys on a regular basis. I don't do that today. I still can get angry and I still can argue with them, but then I learned that, I can say I'm sorry. This one guy said to me, how can you yell at your boss and go out and say you're sorry? I never tell a fucking dog. And I said, well, you know what, I said, I learned that when I'm wrong, I got to admit to it, and you know what, sometimes when you're wrong, I got to say sorry. And he's like, man, what's up with you? No, you know, I'm just living life today. I'm learning how to live this thing differently than I ever did before in my life, you know. And some people don't understand that. And I don't expect them to either. All I know is that this program is given to me something I've never seen, and you know what, there's so much more. And it says here in the first steps is abstinence is only the beginning. The only hope for recovery is profound emotional and spiritual change. I want that. And that's something I want today. And it says that abstinence is only the beginning. And so I have to do something in between, and that is doing some work. George shared earlier about that theory. It says in there about only scratching the surface on the first 4 steps. I did my first 4 steps with my sponsor, and he said, right down everybody you know, I had 600 people. I had 80 pages for my 4 steps. I had to preach to them things for 3 hours, 3.5 hours. I said, man, I must have been the most 4 steps I ever seen. But you know what, though? I walked out of there, I was numb. Couldn't feel nothing. I woke up the next day, man, it was like everything was lifted off of my shoulders. It's amazing, that feeling, freedom. Because I didn't have to carry that junk around me. He was exposed, he was off the hill. I don't know. I know living this program though, doing the next right thing, going to meetings, working the steps to try to live these traditions, trying to treat other people the way that I like to be treated, doing fine or drugs in every area of my life, you know. in this program of working stuff, of doing the right things, the God that I find has been blessing me with so many different gifts. When I first was coming in, I had a DUI that was 10 years old. That's gone too. That's never made it to the books. You know what I mean? And God seems to be doing the right thing. He's blessed to take that stuff away, you know? I don't have to take people and use them today as a form of entertainment. See, because I used to find everybody's weakness and I used to expose it, exploit it, and beat them up with their own shit, make them feel so bad about themselves that I felt good. And I don't have to do that today. That's an amazing thing for me today, man. I don't know. All I know is I keep working on some changes and said this is a process and things come slowly. And I'm not good at some things yet, you know? And I'll be the first one to tell you, I fall short all the time. But I know that coming around here, I've been told, as long as I don't take anything, I have a chance, I have a shot. Change is inevitable, you know, as long as I don't use. And talking with my sponsor and going to meetings on a regular basis gives me an opportunity to get in touch with some of the feelings. I still struggle with some things too. And that's the right part of this program that a lot of people feel strongly about. I don't know. I'm a talker. I'd like to sit down with anybody on a one-on-one basis and sit in the literature and talk for hours. You know what I mean? But a lot of people believe in the writing part of it. And to be quite honest, I know from my own experience of doing the first three steps, once I went back and rewrote them, started to internalize it, was the only time I really started to feel the freedom. You know, because that's what gave me the freedom to even do 600 people on a full step to do 80 pages, you know? Because I couldn't be in touch with those deep internal feelings, okay? I don't know, this program offers, I don't know, I come here, I don't know nothing. You know, I don't know nothing. I just know that this program works because I'm with it. I don't have to use, no matter what's going on in my life. Been here for almost 3 years, and I've been in four different relationships. Every single one of them, same shit comes up. I do the same shit over and over, expecting a different result. You know what? It is the same result. They all go. I go, they go. But you know what I'm learning? I'm learning how to see this stuff and become aware of it. And becoming aware of it is the first step to changing it. And just part of living this program is becoming aware of this stuff. You know? Working at living the sixth step. Working at living the seventh step and becoming humble. Because see, the thing about it is, the sixth step says we become entirely ready. You know, I'm not entirely ready yet. You know? Even having worked through these steps before, I'm still not entirely ready to let go of some of the behaviors and the thinking and the attitudes that I have. But the more I come around, the more time I spend here, the easier things are going to become for me to let go of. Because, see, that's what it is. I'm still struggling in the first step because of my denial of things. Because I don't want to deny that I have a problem with this stuff. You know, I don't want to admit that stuff. I want to keep that stuff there so my life becomes unmanageable. It took me a year clean to get out of the denial part of it that I was a black-eyed drinker. I said, after a year clean, I could finally get honest with myself that I was a black-eyed drinker. And then the process started to become more easier for me to see that the attic part of that, you know, over there in that area, you know. And it says in here in the literature about this disease affects us in every area of our lives. So, I mean, if this affects me in every area of my life, man, I got a lot of work to do. It's all one day at a time. You know, just for a day, I do have faith in someone angry who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery, you know. And that is my sponsor, because he loves me unconditionally. We talk about the things that are going on, he'll say, well, you got to make a choice. Either you're going to choose this, which I don't think would be a wise choice for you, or you're going to choose this. But either way you do it, I'm going to stand behind you 100%. You know? And I tell him straight up, look, well, I don't really take suggestions too well. He says, I don't take them well either. But you know what? It's through pain you'll be learning. And see, I'm one of them stubborn guys that I got to get my own pain to learn. And sometimes I'm not willing to let go until it's just to the bitter end. Back in November, actually in September, I got 2 years clean. I quit smoking cigarettes after 30 years of that. You know, I had a relationship go bad. I was taking a tantrum about living the ninth step and making some amends and financial amends. I didn't want to do it. I said, if you want your money, they should spend my life because I owed on an accident I was at in 1998. I still owed money here, and I was declining pain. I said, if you're going to spend my life, well, we'll see how fast you get your money. You know? Well, he's being childish like that. I almost used. If it wasn't for the responsibilities I had with sponsors I had, being treasurer of my home group, going out and doing that thing at the rehab that I was at, you know what I mean? Trying to keep up with this kind of commitments in here, then I'd have never got free. You know, I'd have never been able to see the childishness that I had. But see, God was good enough to love me enough to let me get that kind of pain and see that to surrender finally to say, you know what, I can't do this. And he was able, some guy who was 28 years who just died, he come up to me after that and he said, where you been? I ain't seen in a while. And I told him. And he said, he laughed at me. He said, first we get clean, then we grow up. It took like 3 days for that to sink in, and I realized, wow, man, I just stood off the couch and hit my knee and said, God, forgive me for everything I'm doing here. You know, I'm so childish and I never even realized it. And I could still be like that today, and it doesn't matter. But it's trying to do things on a daily basis. And living this program is just, for me, is living life on a daily basis, and I'm taking drugs and trying to do some change. And it's, it takes time. And my sponsor always says to me, you want to have 5 years, you want to have 10 years, well, you know what, be happy where you're at. I'm like, wow, and it's only starting to sink in now. Be happy where you're at. You know, he's absolutely right, because you know what, I could still be using it. So I should be happy where I'm at. And I do have a lot of gratitude for that. Thanks for letting me share.
Before we announce the next speaker, the midnight meeting that was going to take place at the amphitheater is going to be in this room in front of campfire. It's real nice to have like the opportunity to introduce the next speaker. And when I first came here, people told me that the only gift I was going to get from this process was a day clean. That was the only thing I would get, and I've been given so much more. I've never had a person like this in my life. I have people in my family that share the same blood as me, and I love this man just as much as I love them, as much as I could ever love anybody. The intimacy between a man and a man, like, he's taught me how to be a man, he's taught me how to be a friend, he's taught me how to get closer to God, he taught me how to be responsible in my relationship with women, in my relationship at my job. He's there to laugh with me, to cry with me. to tell me shit ain't gonna be alright, or shit is gonna be alright, or how to make it alright. So it's really an honor, and I got to thank God every day, and I'd like to welcome my own rest. And like, I thank God for everything. A lot of stuff I had to go through to get to this point in my life wasn't nice. And my thanks for that, I'm still not real good at taking compliments because I still had a little people upstairs since I was still saying like damn shit, but you don't know that. And like I can say I don't know nothing except for that this program works. This program promised me freedom from active addiction. And it says I could lose the desire to use and find a new way of life. And I came in here like I didn't want to stop using. I wanted to stop hurting. Because I hated the skin I was in. I like to say I'm not going to really do because I know that this thing works. And I have some working knowledge for the 12 steps of this program through sponsorship. When I first came in, they told me I had to change everything, and I ran straight from the meeting back to the facility and made a list of things I wasn't going to change. I was still going to carry a gun. I was still going to do some things. It caused me internal pain all my damn life, man. The topic of this meeting is like living the program. This morning, I had a glimpse of what living the program means. Like, I had sat on my porch while I was waiting for you to come pick me up, and like, I was preparing this speech of what I was going to say. And like, the presence of God is awesome. It's like I broke down in tears because I wasn't lying. I wanted to say that stuff. And my God said, that ain't what I want you to say. I want you to tell your story and tell how you live this program to the best of your ability. And like, I'm getting kind of emotional, right? Because I'm getting close to an anniversary, like 5 years and like 55 minutes. 5 years ago, like I was done. I was hit. I had a taste of recovery process. And like I made a decision to go back out because like I said, I knew I wasn't done. So I went back out and the pain came back immediately and I came in the room and I was willing to do whatever it took not to be that guy no more. And like that guy was that guy who I knew I wasn't raised to be. A little bit about me, like both of my parents died when I was 5 years old and I was devastated all my life behind that and I never told nobody like how bad I hurt. So that set me off on the course like it was God's fault and y'all don't understand and men don't cry so I'm not gonna let y'all know I'm hurt and da 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 da, and 10 years old, you give me some good early direction, and I tell you like I don't have to listen to you, because my mother and father is dead. Before I picked up the drug, I had a problem. Like, I was misinformed by the misinformed. I'm 5 years old, 6 years old. I got like teenagers, an older uncle telling me like men don't cry
I'm a little kid, I was older, I was hurt. I needed to listen to somebody because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. By the time I was like 11, 12 years old, like I was stealing from a church on a regular basis because I was forced to go to that church on Sundays, and I got this problem with God because he let my parents die. So when you grow up like we do, you reach this age in your life, or this point in your life, or this time in your life where you understand what accountability is. And like, I was accountable for some real foul stuff in the eyes of God. And like, I can't pretend like I didn't know who God was when I got him, because I had a resentment towards him like for a lot of years. Tell him it, whatever you choose to be your God. And I didn't think I was worthy of mercy and grace, or like I had some evidence that I was. When I came back in 97, I made a decision that like I was going to do whatever it took. And I asked for God to be my sponsor. And we worked the first step. And we talked about some stuff, and he said, you know, man, your problem. We worked the first step, and he asked me a question. He said, what's your problem now? I'm like, no, here come one of them old N.A. trick questions. And I'm like, what is it? He said, your problem is you are sinning in the eyes of God. You like to do what you do, but you don't like the feelings that God gives you when you do what you do. And like, I was done with him. I didn't need him no more as my son. And not because he told me something I didn't want to hear. He told me what I needed to hear, and I needed to go get some new information for somebody who helped me grow up. Because see, I had to go back and get this 5-year-old little kid. And I love my sponsor because this gentleman, like I told him, I don't like you because you helped me. Like, I want you to be my sponsor. And he told me some things to do. And like, most of us do, we balk when like he told me to do something that I don't think I need to do. And like he told me some stuff, some real neat stuff in the beginning, like, if you ask me to help you, don't tell me how to do it. He told me something real neat one day, man. He says, you got a lot of integrity. I touched that, like I thought he was giving me a compliment, and he said, like, he needs to shut up and stop walking. And I wanted to find some people so like I could fire him in public. He's like, he gave me a compliment, and then he slapped me in the face. And I started doing some work. He gave me a pamphlet, the Triangle of Selfie Session. And my sponsor, he's like, he plays these games with rocks and silver pockets, so it's like, I'm sitting there reading this pamphlet one night, and I look at the symbol, and it's a triangle, and I'm locked in it. Because after I read the information, I'm locked in. And like, trying to figure out how can I get out. And like I told him, I feel like that pastor gave me some insight. And he asked me to start reading the first step. And I had already did the first step with another guy. But I did it again anyway. And he talked about it. Again, he told me, like, to remove the word drugs or alcohol or the chemical, he said, put some other words in there. Like, I'm powerless over my career. I'm powerless over my income. I'm powerless over relationships. I got with those things, and I come to the realization of what life he was trying to get me to get at. If I go to work tomorrow and my employer tells me they're downsizing, I can get an attitude, walk around the place like they owe me something, or I can leave, sign up for unemployment, and start looking for another job. The unmanageable features to stand around and bitch about like them, he's trying to downsize and like, I'm ass out. So I need to do what I need to do before my life becomes real, real unmanageable because of my doing. My life can become unmanageable at any given time because of who's in control. God's in control. Of my life. But I have to be careful of how I react when God does something in my life that I feel like is a curveball. I have to look at relationships like, if you don't want to have nothing to do with me, I can't make it. I was sitting on the porch this morning, like one of the things that started bringing tears to my eyes, one of my favorite sayings growing up. Like, who the fuck do you think you're talking to? And I'm not tough or none of that. I'm not even big. I'm a small guy. But like, if you was to say something that I didn't agree with, that offended me, that hurt my feelings, I would say, who you think you're talking to? And like this morning, my guy gave me a revelation about that. Like, that's not your tongue, and I control that. And your powers of which has come out of another human being's mind. Insanity, like, I looked at insanity, I still think crazy is all I was, man. But I found out in this process that thinking don't require action. But action does require thinking. I know that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over expecting different results. You know, do some prayer and meditation. My God finished that for me. You know, I always knew what the results were. I always thought I could handle the consequences of this time. I found out that, like, if I do life, I don't have to do consequences as often. I do consequences, trust me. Because, like, I don't work a perfect program, but I work it to the best of my ability. I don't know much, and I still need help. I find out sometimes when I ask for help, I already got the best idea going for mine. I've made some decisions to do what I wanted to do, that gave me some consequences that was real painful and like I wanted to use. But like I've come to the reality I can't handle the consequences of active addiction. Because if I could, I wouldn't have stopped. Like, I had a love affair with heroin for 25 years. My drug of choice at the end was anything that got me out of me, and none of it worked at the end, but I would still pump that shit in me. So, like, living the program is like, I go to a lot of meetings. I have a sponsor, and I'm using as often as like I believe some people should. You notice I didn't say I should, but I still don't know nothing. And sometimes I say he's real busy. But because of him, I had the ability to walk a step. Not just write a step. Not just quote a step out the basic text. Not just read a step at the meeting. Live a step. You know, because when he told me integrity is not what I say, it's what I do, that means I got to do this when none of y'all watching. I'm going to tell you something about me I found out in my course now. I'm sneaky. I'm a liar. And I want maximum output with minimal input. And I find out when I put very little in, I get little if anything out. On some personal life right now, I'm coming out of denial about some health issues. Like I said, I'm not a little kid anymore. I'm 44. And I'm going to have like some real severe pains and numbings and stuff in my body that I don't feel comfortable having. And I can't keep saying that it's not that bad. Like I said, most of my life I had a problem with good orderly direction. You know, I'm the type of guy who will go to the doctor, give the doctor a symptom, get a diagnosis, and change the symptom. But like, I can't keep denying the symptoms that I'm having because they could be deadly. And I know I'm gonna die. And I pray to God that I die clean, but I don't want to die now. Because, like, I've been given this new way to live, man, and I love it. I don't always want to do it. But most of my life, when I do what I want to do, I find out I don't like what I've done. Because I seek instant gratification that a lot of times has long-term consequences. And I keep saying, it's all going consequences. And like, I'm getting emotional, right? It is because I'm getting honest. And it's because like, you looking at a guy who was willing to die an act of addiction, man, but it was taking too damn long. And like, I did a little bit of work compared to what I used to do every day. I did a little bit of work. And like the quality of my life has improved immensely. I'm talking about this external stuff. Don't touch what happened to me. I'm talking about the internal work that's been done by God. Like I put in a lot of stuff in my life. And like I wish there were more people was around to see me grow up. I remember doing a flip stuff with my sponsor. I told him something. And like I can say this to say, like most of my life I always wanted to be that kid that's come up my mom. Like I wish my mom, my dad could see me home. I wish my sister could see me now. For those who do see me now, I'm happy. Talking to Dick, excuse me if you're offended by that, and if you are, talk to your sponsor. Because it wasn't meant to offend. I'm happy. It's like I'm free from acting as that you would never think it was possible. I put a quarter of the work into this past 5 years that I put into my last year in acting. My acting addiction was a 24-hour-a-day job that I wanted to quit for 15 years. And then motherfucker would wake me up every morning, bring me to 3 o'clock in the morning, pick me up off my job, take me away from family functions, and tell me, like, it's time. I'm real happy to be here. Thank you, Eric, for asking me to share. I thank my support for making themselves available. And like all of you, and y'all know who y'all are. I love y'all. Because through y'all I've learned to love myself. And like I said, my self-esteem some days still tell me you don't like yourself. And I know that's the disease. It's a lot. Because on a lot of days I do what I need to do, not what I want to do. I got to stand up for late to listen to me cry. And somebody has asked me about crying before this meeting starts. It happens most of the time, it happens just the day of this time. But after it's all over, it feels so good. I feel so good. Even though I go through stuff in my life, I'm not comfortable. I feel so good. I didn't even get those pictures in my life. I didn't intentionally set out to hurt myself or another human being to death. And if I did hurt you today, I apologize. And I wasn't aware of it. Thanks for letting me share.
I'd like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, changing hope with us. We have the reading just for today from the voting please.
Hi, I'm Jim. I'm an addict. Just for today, tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today.